small businesses don't have to stay small to qualify for small business work, according to a decision from the Small Business Administration Office of Hearings and Appeals. The decision sets an interesting precedent for size rules for government contractors. Lee Doherty is a partner at Fluitt, Huber & Hong, and here to talk about the case. Lee, this is interesting because this is something that has been going on, I guess, probably since there were small businesses in government, about when you're small and when you're not small anymore. Do I have that right, Lee?
That's right, Francis, and again, welcome. Thanks for having me on the show. It is interesting that the idea of first what is small. I often tell my friends who are in the commercial world, you know, that small can be $25, $30, $40, $50 million, even depending on the particular NAICS code. But yeah, what is small and when do you stop being small has always been a big question when dealing with small business set-aside contracts.
Steve Koprintz writes on the Small GovCon blog, the SBA Office of Hearings and Appeals rejected an argument that an offeror recertifies its size merely by submitting a proposal for a GSA task order. Now, you know this case very well. Tell me about it, what the sides were saying.
Well, it's an interesting case. It as we've talked about many times on your show, I do a lot of bid protest, and this was a case, a size protest to the SBA that came out of a GAO bid protest. And questions were raised during the bid protest about the size, and the SBA took it on itself, which it doesn't always do, and protested to itself and looked at my client, Addict's, size in this particular case. And it was an interesting case in that it was a task order award. But very shortly after winning the task order award, my client's contract, it was a GSA contract, it expired, and it was no longer eligible for the small size status.
Because it had grown in size.
That's right.
Okay.
So the way GSA contracts work is they typically work on a five-year schedule. Every 5 years, you recertify your size. If in the first year of that five-year contract, you win a number of large awards, there are a number of cases of companies being in the hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, but still winning small set-aside work because they still have that contract which lasts for 5 years.
Steve writes that had SBA OHA agreed with the TISTA, it would have upended the size rules for GSA scheduled contracts and other long-term contract vehicles. What was the implication, or what would the implication have been had that been the case? How could this have turned things upside down, like Steve writes?
Well, it really would have changed the landscape. What TISTA argued was that in 2010, there were amendments to the Small Business Act. And in those amendments, it says, and I'll read it here. It says, submissions of a bid or proposal for a federal grant, contract, subcontract, cooperative agreement, or cooperative research and development agreement that is set aside shall be deemed an affirmative, willful, intentional certification of small business size. And what TISTA argued was that this required that every time a small business under a GSA contract or any sort of long-term contract, that every time they submitted a proposal, they were recertifying their size, and that would have it would have nullified the whole idea of a five-year GSA contract. And so every single time a small business would have submitted a proposal under that GSA contract, they would have had to certify that they were still small.
That recertification process that would mean people, the churn would strike me as being really amazing. I mean, if I have grown out of the small business program, but I still have to, but when I recertify, I don't qualify anymore, I lose the business, somebody else gets it. That's great for somebody else. I wonder if that really is the best outcome for the government customer.
Well, this issue came up a couple of years ago with the SBA, and there was a lot of debate within the SBA on this. And the SBA at that time considered an annual, a requirement to annually recertify, so that at least once a year you were certifying that you were still small. But what they came to both, you know, in with input from all the government agencies and all the smart people that contributed opinions on this, is that 5 years was the appropriate time. But imagine tens of thousands of proposals submitted today by companies that have these contracts, these five-year GSA contracts. They would have had to have gone back on every single one of those and determined, are we still small? They would have had to run all their numbers, done their budgeting, figured out where they were. And it would have made a burden to the system that ultimately would have hurt small business, I think, though clearly some small businesses would have benefited.
We'll put a link to Steve's piece at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon, Lee, and I thank you for pointing that out to me. You also told me about how people are starting to get a little bit uneasy about overseas contracts, the situation in Ukraine bringing that about. How is that manifesting itself in your communications with your clients?
Well, as you know, our firm does a lot of work in export compliance arena and a lot of international transactions, and we deal with a lot of defense contractors and commercial contractors that are looking overseas, and I think there's been a lot written lately about some of the larger government contractors and commercial businesses who have looked overseas for markets that they've not tapped in before, in large part for the government contractors in the federal space. As we see government contracting dollars shrink here, there are opportunities around the world for you know, again, markets that have not been tapped into, and so we're seeing that a lot. But there's a lot of things going on in the world right now that are causing a lot of unrest, a lot of uncertainty for our clients that are looking into the international space. Obviously, Ukraine is a big part of that we're seeing in the news every day now. So you have countries that are really looking to expand their needs are expanding, and they're looking to purchase more from U.S. exporters. But at the same time, the restrictions that are placed on the export of defense services and things are very strict.
Another item you mentioned is that a lot of folks, I think, expected that once we got to April, maybe as late as May or June, since we have a 2014 budget plan in place and we know what numbers are going to be for the rest of this fiscal year, that the wallets might open a little bit and the business might start to happen, but it hasn't turned out that way from what you're telling me.
Well, it's really interesting. I was one of those that thought that we would see a slightly quicker opening of the coffers and money being spent by now. We spent the last 2 years in I think the last couple of years we've talked on your end of the year show about this sense of uncertainty that we've gone through with sequestration, and we had the government shutdown and the lack of a real credible budget the last few years, and suddenly those things seem to be lifted, and yet the contracting officers and agencies have been slow to let go of the contracting dollars. I think it's going to come. I think we're starting to see it really in the last few weeks, and at least from my client's perspective, we've started to see a little bit more, a few more RFQs and RFPs being released, a little more money being spent. But I think what a lot of people can look towards now is the end of year rush, and I think we're going to see it maybe more so than we did last year, sort of this end of year spending.
I want to give you a chance to plug something, Lee, that sounds really, really cool. It's April 22nd. It is the D.C. Objective Rally Point, and I want you to tell everybody about that, and we'll put a link about it at federalnewsradio.com.
Yeah, I've been hosting. I founded a networking event for veterans and veteran-owned businesses, mostly small businesses, a couple of years ago, and we do this monthly as a breakfast, and a fantastic networking event. We average about 100, 120, mainly business owners that come out every month, sit down, breakfast, primarily a networking event, finding ways to work together. It's a fantastic forum for those larger companies that are looking for veteran-owned and service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses to come out and find teaming partners. For veterans, it's a fantastic place to get information, to find mentors, to fellowship, to get support and encouragement. We primarily do networking, but we have a speaker as well. And in recognition of the anniversary, the end of the Vietnam War, we're year 39 now from the end of the war, we're going to have retired Brigadier General William Weiss speak to us. He was a battalion commander at the Battle of Dido, a really horrific battle during Vietnam War, and we're going to have a special tribute to our Vietnam veterans. So, yeah, veterans, if you're out there and want to join, please go to the link. And if you're a business looking for a veteran to team with or work with, we'd love to have you attend as well.
We're going to put a link to that, as I mentioned, at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. It's dc-orp.com, and I congratulate you on that, and I thank you for coming on, as always, my friend.
Always pleasure. Always pleasure.
Lee Doherty is a partner at Fluitt, Huber, and Hong. You can read more about the D.C. Objective Rally Point event and hear my conversation with Lee later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.